Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. Before I introduce our special guest for episode 28, I want to take a moment to thank all of you who recognized that I took a week off last week. And this was after you kept hitting the refresh button and you weren't getting your next episode of Accept Your Gifts. I realized then, I suppose I should have at least given everyone a little warning that I was taking a week off. Actually, I took the week off from production because my amazing sound editor, Dan, was on a weeks-long vacation. And while I had prepared episodes ahead of time for that week he was actually gone, I didn't want to just inundate him with more work the very second he returned from vacation because I figured he would be inundated with enough work. So I gave myself a week off so that Dan could have a little bit of a breather coming back from his own vacation. So here we are. And for those of you who kept hitting refresh until you finally reached out personally, thank you for the love. I really appreciate that. Okay, my special guest today is Michelle Bradford, who lives in Connecticut with her husband and two young daughters. Now, I first met Michelle through a mutual friend, and I was soon awestruck by the discovery of Michelle's talent as a portrait artist. But it was when I discovered Michelle's move toward abstract art that I knew I had to know more about her as a creative being. In other words, I wanted to know what had inspired Michelle to move from the precision that's required of portraiture and representational art toward this near polar opposite of her evocative abstract painting. By the way, so you can see for yourself, I've included a link to Michelle's website, Michelle Bradford Art, in the description of this podcast. Now, in a review for the New Haven Independent, reporter Lucy Gelman writes this of Michelle's exhibit titled Abstracts in Oil, quote, "In the right light, the viewer might see any number of things in her paintings, an intimation of the human eye peeking out from behind a thick swoop of taupe, the wink of a sunset, tempered meditations on Jackson Pollock's technique. They are Bradford's love songs to color field artists and aggressive abstract painters alike, without diluting the tradition of portraiture from which she came." End quote. So now, let's listen in as we discover from Michelle how she made this incredible move from portraiture to abstract. Hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for joining us today on Accept Your Gifts.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Aw, thanks so much. Okay, listen. I'm just going to jump right in here with this. A few years ago, during an exhibit of your artwork, you shared this memory with the New Haven Independent. You said, and I'm going to quote you here, "When I was 12 years old, my parents took me to the Louvre. I remember standing in the portrait section and thinking, yes, this is what I want to do." Unquote. Please tell us more.
Yeah, it's funny because, of course, that was one of those trips that I hadn't initially wanted to go on. There was something going on with my friends at the time, and I remember my parents. I know, can you imagine? We lived in Germany at the time. My dad was a dentist in the army, and I didn't want to go on this trip, and it ended up being the most life-changing trip. We started out, we went to Painter's Square and there were portrait artists everywhere. And it just felt so magical. I actually got my portrait drawn there. And then, when we went to the Louvre, I just was in awe of it was the oil paintings, the old master portraits. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I don't know, it was that moment that I kind of knew that I was an artist and this is what I wanted to do. And I got home from that trip and I took all of my friends' school pictures and I started drawing them in sketchbooks. And that's where it began.
Okay, well, back us up just a second. So had there been any hints of any artistry interests that you might have had younger that kind of led to that?
I always loved artwork. I was never very athletic, and I loved drawing. I would draw all the time, but I didn't realize it was portraiture until I was there. It was the portraits that really got me. But I always knew I was an artist.
Well, let me ask this. What is it about portraiture? What is it about capturing the portrait of someone that fascinates you so much? And your work is amazing. By the way, everyone listening, there is a link on this podcast description. So be sure that you click on that link and go to her gallery because you are going to be stunned at how amazing this work is. But tell us, what is it about portraiture?
Thank you, Tracy. It's interesting. I'm not sure exactly what it is. When I started drawing portraits, it was the features, the eyes especially, that I would really kind of get pulled into. And just trying to capture the feeling of somebody through the subtle expressions that they have. I don't know. I was just captivated with learning how to do that and sort of translating it in a way where it wasn't just shapes. It actually felt like somebody. It felt like them.
So did this require formal training?
Well, I did end up going to art school in San Francisco. I went to the Academy of Art University. And when I was there, I was taking all the figure drawing and painting classes that I could, trying to learn about anatomy and really just oil painting was my favorite, but I also loved charcoal drawing and, the live models. And so I got a lot of training there in portraiture.
You said that you snapped all these photos of friends and you were drawing your friends. What were their reactions when you would share portraits of them?
You know what's sad? I was very shy when I was young and I kept these in books hidden under my bed. Nobody saw them.
No, tell me you still have them.
I think over the many moves, I still have one. I know. I wish I had valued them more at the time. Same with, the dream journals I kept and so many other things, but I would love to have those things now, but I don't.
Well, it appears that your parents must have been pretty prescient about their daughter and her artistic ability. Do you feel that you inherited any of that artistic talent from either of them?
Well, we actually have a lot of artists in the family. My both sides of the family, actually, there are artists. My grandmother and my great grandmother were both artists. I mean, some of the work that I found that they did, it was amazing for not having been trained, and they just did it on their own. And then on my mom's side as well, her sister is an artist. But nobody ever pursued it professionally, and I feel so lucky that I'm able to do that.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's talk about that because as an artist myself, as a writer, I understand, and I also teach writing workshops, as you know, so I understand the hesitation most artists have about sharing their work. There's a certain level of vulnerability to that. Do you think, looking back, that might have been at the root of why they didn't pursue that professionally, or was it just a sign of the times? What do you think?
You know, I think, you know, if I look at each of their situations, definitely for my grandmother and my great grandmother, the times, they had to, my grandmother and her husband ran a newspaper, and, it just wasn't really an option, I think, for them or my, so I think it is a sign of the times. I think also for many people, it's getting past, those sayings of the poor starving artist, and believing that actually there is another way to be an artist and thrive. But you do have to overcome those beliefs, those stereotypes.
How motivating and inspiring is it for you to recognize that despite whatever their circumstances, they still carved out that time for their creativity? In other words, they still valued that part of themselves. Do you draw on that? No pun intended.
Yeah, I do. I do think that's amazing because, I know many people who are pursuing their artistic talents on the side, and I've never been fast at art. I'm actually very slow with my artwork. And so for me, I sort of felt like if I was going to do it, it had to be full time. I couldn't split it with something else. And I really admire people who go to work and then they find time, between everything else in life to go and do that and sort of feed themselves that way.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, that quote that I took from the New Haven Independent was actually for an exhibit of not portraiture that you were exhibiting, but abstract art. So if you're okay, I want to know more about this abstract art that you find yourself pulled into right now. Why the shift, you think, from the portraiture and that amazing representation that you do there to now the abstract? What do you find enjoyable about abstract?
Well, it's funny. It completely took me by surprise. I had always been in love with, actually, my favorite artwork was always the Impressionists and the Post-Impressionists, Degas and Toulouse-Lautrec and Van Gogh and Monet. And I had honestly not paid a whole lot of attention to abstract art. And then with my own personal studies, I was really, studying representational art. So it was interesting when I had my second child, who's six now, between the period of time that we were trying to get pregnant and then all the way through nursing, there was about a year where I wasn't able to paint because I use oil paint and just some of the chemicals I wasn't comfortable with. And when I got back to it, I was so eager to get back into it. And it was the strangest thing. I went to paint a portrait and it felt so tedious. It suddenly felt like it was just stifling something. And it kind of surprised me, and that continued. And then I've always been really into color. I've always had a favorite color. It shifts slightly, but it stays pretty constantly with the blues and the greens and the teals. And I've always felt strongly about colors, but it suddenly became very present. And I almost felt like I was becoming obsessed with certain colors, and I just really wanted to paint with them. And so I started trying to paint abstract, and it was frustrating at first because I didn't know what I was doing, and I couldn't figure out how to put these colors down. It's like I wanted to display them in a beautiful way so I could look at them, but I couldn't figure out in what way to lay them down. So I was trying shapes, and I felt like the shapes were then speaking too loudly, and it wasn't, what I was trying to do. And so at some point I splashed paint on the canvas, and I was watching it drip, and I moved the canvas, and I saw the kind of curves and shapes that it made, and that really got my interest, just kind of the organic surprises that popped up that I thought were really beautiful. And so that kind of took me in the direction of exploring through color. And it was sort of like each color had a different way that it wanted to be represented. So it kind of influenced how I went about it.
This is fascinating because I am somewhat of a rules girl. I'm all about rules. There are certain writing rules, and once you know those rules, you know which rules you can break. So it sounds like you're telling me that with abstract, there are no rules. Are there no rules at all? Nothing?
You know, I mean, it would probably depend who you talk to, but I would definitely say for myself, that was, I think, the attraction was that there was no right or wrong, you know, with a portrait. If you just have the eye off a few degrees in one direction, it just, something looks wrong and you don't know exactly what it is, you know. But with abstract, it was just a present moment, spontaneous expression of wherever I was at that moment, you know. And you're just right there with it, you know. It's like a live kind of meditation.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so tell me if this is too much of a stretch. So it seems that for a portrait artist, you're more in your thinking self, mind, in that process. And the abstract allows one possibly to be more in the emotional freedom part of oneself. Does that make sense? Is that a stretch or does that sound accurate?
No, for me, that's very true. For me, that's very true. I think, I'm sure there's many portrait artists who probably have their process down so well that maybe they're able to sort of get into that more feeling place. But for me, I think I spent a lot of time, you know, just trying to make sure it looked like the person. So there were certain, you know, parameters that you have to work within and trying not to lose the drawing underneath and all of that. So I think definitely there was a lot of thinking that had to go on throughout portraiture that I wanted to get to a place where I was just able to freely express and see what came through.
What has been the feedback from those who've seen your abstracts?
Well, it's funny, you know, for the first year, those who knew me well and knew my art were really, you know, scratching their heads, trying to figure out what was going on. And then over time, I feel like, the people who know me and know my work have come to see this other expression that I like to do. And I still do both. I still do portraits and I also like to do these. I like to actually do my abstracts with people. I like to do custom pieces where, because for me, you know, being surrounded with the colors that I love, and it really brings me a lot of joy. And I feel like it's something that I'm very aware of, but I think a lot of people might not even realize the benefit they could get from being surrounded with a color that they really love, that they really resonate with. And so I love actually working with people to figure out what colors they want to bring into their environment and create custom pieces for them.
Okay, so this next question may be irrelevant at this point, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. So if I give you three words, color, emotion, or image, you're drawing inspiration from which of those first?
I would say, I mean, normally I would think that it was color, because usually it's a color that I'm thinking about that I want to express. But when I think about that now, there's something that inspired me to want to express that color. And I think that comes from sort of that deeper place within us that we might not be consciously aware of, but you know, colors carry an energy and a vibration. And just like music, you know, there's certain songs that make you feel really good. There are certain colors and very specific ones sometimes that make you feel really good. And I think there's a reason for it. I think that actually it's of great benefit to follow that guidance.
And see, all this time, this is how naive I am. to artwork. All this time, I thought that the one thing an artist probably really despised hearing was that, oh, I'm not buying that piece of yours because those colors don't fit my room or whatever. So it color really does play into it a lot for artists, right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. It's funny because I am not sensitive about my abstract art. If somebody loves it or if they don't, it actually, unlike my portraits, where actually I was a little bit more concerned with what people thought of them,
sure.
Because it did feel like there was a right and a wrong, and either you captured them or you didn't. But with abstract, it's so personal. You know, color is so personal, and expression is so personal when you draw straight lines versus curved lines. And, you know, everybody has different things that they resonate with. And so it really, you know, it would be strange to me if everyone did like a certain painting that I did, because, you know, it's just not, we're all so different. We're all so unique.
Do you have favorite abstract artists that you look at for inspiration?
While there's a lot of abstract artists that I admire, I really, I've kept this more of an internal process, because I really feel like, it kind of, for me, went hand in hand with meditation and sort of following my intuition. And I enjoy that process of being there and not knowing what's going to happen and just trusting what comes through. And when it works, it's really a kind of like a journey that you go on. And at the end of it, I know more about myself than I did before I started.
Oh, that's a loaded question and leads right into the perfect segue of what I wanted to ask you, which is this, young lady. What would you say is the single greatest lesson your art has taught you about yourself or about life?
I think to go with the flow, to trust, to look internally for my answers rather than comparing myself to other people, other artists. There's been a lot of metaphors and parallels that I have recognized since I've been doing abstract art with where I need to be to create a piece of abstract art that really flows and feels right and ends up being something that I feel good about. The space that I need to be in to do that is everything. You know, when I go to paint, if I am feeling at all frustrated or uninspired, I've learned from, you know, that feeling of, well, you just have to show up every day at, you know, 8 o'clock and do it. Well, actually, I've ruined a lot of paintings that way. And what I've realized for myself is that before, you know, part of showing up at whatever designated hours I put for my paintings is making sure I'm in the right space before I begin, because that really comes through in the artwork. So whether it's, you know, listening to good music, meditation, taking a walk, just something, it doesn't have to take long, but just getting sort of myself primed and in a space where I feel really good and knowing that that is going to come through and that I have more access to my intuition that way. And it just creates a beautiful kind of flow of the process, which is, you know, kind of everything when you're doing this kind of artwork.
So it sounds like that what you draw from art is the lesson of preparation and finding that place of flow that then allows you to do that throughout the rest of your day, would you say?
Yeah. Yep. Because you see how if that works with a piece of artwork, you know, if I'm going to walk into a meeting or make a difficult phone call or whatever it is that I have to do, to first be in that space and set my intention of how I want things to go really makes a difference with how it comes through.
Yeah. So when your abstracts are in an exhibit or when people are looking at them, forgive this naivete, how many times do people ask you, what is it? What is it supposed to be? And what is your answer to that?
You know, maybe because I don't put a lot of shapes, you know, and forms in my artwork, I more get questions about, you know, or people saying it feels like water, or it feels like clouds, you know, it feels ethereal. So actually, I really love hearing that, because oftentimes, you know, I associate water with emotions, and my painting is so much about, you know, emotions, the colors, and how those influence emotions within me. And I love to hear how they affect other people. So I actually really enjoy hearing people's, what they feel when they look at it and what it reminds them of.
When you're in the artistic process, how do you as the artist reach a point with a particular abstract painting that you know you're done, that it's finished?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Oftentimes I, you know, we've taken all of the other artwork off our walls, because what I do is I just hang it up in my house and I obsessively stare at it. And oftentimes I'll think I'm done, and then I always put it down here for 2 weeks, and almost always I end up bringing it back upstairs for you know, more work. But one thing I realized with the abstracts is that it's usually better if I don't do that bringing it back upstairs after 2 weeks, because there's something about the process when I do it to a place where I think it's done, where it's sort of completing something that I was feeling at that time. And when I go back, you know, a couple weeks later or a month later, and I paint on it, it almost just becomes a completely different painting. Sometimes I'll end up painting over the whole thing without realizing it. So I'm trying to learn, actually, to just, when I feel that first completeness, just leave it. And just, yeah.
I'm fascinated about this process, because maybe I'm wrong, but in a way, what it reminds me of is what writers call free writing. You know, we can get so hung up in our own craft of getting the right word, the right sentence, the right emotion, the right symbolism and metaphor and everything, that sometimes we forget to just have fun with it and to get into a flow. And so when I'm teaching a workshop, I'm often encouraging, especially new writers, to just free write. Don't worry about any critic on the shoulder. Don't worry about punctuating properly. Don't worry about if it bleeds across a line or whatever. Just write whatever consciously comes to you. Does that sound like abstract painting?
Yes.
Oh, what yes, freedom absolutely. That is.
Yeah. And I think that's when you get your most authentic work, you know? I think that's when you're writing or you're painting or whatever you're doing without all the filters, without all of the worries of what that's going to look like to somebody else or how that's going to present you, you know? It's just coming from you, unedited. Oh, and there's something really powerful about that.
Let's say there's someone out there who's thinking, okay, I know I can't even draw a cat, but maybe I could splash some paint on a canvas. What initial advice would you give that person?
I would say, if anyone's having that inclination, that they should follow it and to follow their inspiration, whatever it is that, whatever component of that that's attracting them, you know, follow that and just don't be afraid to just try. And, you know, I probably went through a year of what felt like wasted paint and wasted canvases, but I know none of it was, because all of that was necessary to get to the thing that was the aha moment for me that kind of opened things up. And I think you just can't be afraid of going through the ugliness to sort of find the beauty, find what it is that you're trying to do. And not to compare yourself to other people, to really, I mean, you know, it's wonderful to get inspiration. I think that's a helpful and beneficial thing. But I think when you go to do your work, know that, you know, you're the only person that has the set of experiences and your unique makeup that's from so many things to create whatever's going to come through you.
You know, you were already quite well known as a portrait artist. So how challenging was it to put your abstracts out there publicly for the first time? Do you remember that first moment feeling vulnerable in some way?
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially because it's so abstract art is so subjective, you know, it really, you don't know if it's gonna, if anyone's gonna like it. But I did trust that I felt so strongly about doing this, and I kind of had to overcome so many obstacles to sort of continue doing it, that there was something important there. And I trusted that if I felt that strongly about it, that other people were going to respond to it.
Well, what does that feeling feel like? That intuition, what does that feel like? And to you?
To me, it feels like a deep desire to go in a particular direction. And, you know, when the fears come up, the thoughts of trying to answer how and trying to fit that, you know, on paper, it doesn't look very good, you know, and how's that going to work financially and all of that. When I can compare the two feelings, and I know which one I want to follow. Mm. You know, one of them feels really good and open and exciting and joyful, and I feel like it's going to lead me someplace. And the other one feels very limiting.
Well, I think there you have it. I think that's called being in the flow, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think so.
Oh my goodness. Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today on Accept Your Gifts. I have just one final question for you. Well, maybe two. Okay, the first one is, are you following in your parents' footsteps with your two beautiful daughters and their artistic abilities? We'll start with that one.
They are both very, very expressive through their art in their own unique ways. And yeah, we have it up all over the house and celebrate that. And I think it's wonderful.
And the last question is this: what does living your most creative life look like to you?
I think it is just really trusting myself and trusting that if I just continue to follow my passion and my inspiration and my joy, that it's going to unfold, you know, every day, and I get to see more and more of it.
Well, you're certainly a joy to me and to everyone else who we mutually know. So I want to thank you so much again for being such a gift to all of us today on Accept Your Gifts. Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you, Tracy.
I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.